Can you hear me? Good evening. Hopefully it's not too loud. Thank you for the opportunity to bring forth a little bit of God's word. So again, I'm a little nervous, and it's a little different wearing this thing, but we'll get through it. So before we begin, I'll share with you my testimony. So I think I might know everybody in here, or most everybody, but maybe you haven't heard my testimony. So I was saved 20 years ago at church camp. Brother John Thomas was preaching. It was on a Thursday, and I was being convicted, the whole week. Campfire came. I hated campfire. Because, well, Brother Ronnie did it, and he would force us to sit there, and he would say, okay, the saved are going to be on this side, the lost are going to be on this side. The rapture just happened, and it was pitch black, and so we got confronted. And then my dad, he came over after campfire. He had the audacity to come talk to me. Can you believe that? And so he talked to me about dying and going to hell. And, you know, the message was on hell that night. And so I got saved over by that baseball diamond there. I didn't think I got saved then. I thought it was this, you know, I felt good. I felt this peace, but I went two more years being dumb and stubborn, and I definitely am stubborn. And anyways, I thought I was lost. And then 2 years later, this is now 2006, I'm at church camp again, a lot of people talking to me, and I'm being convicted about something. And I went up, gave everything over to God, didn't get saved. And I started praying, if I've ever been saved, bring me back to that time, give me that peace, give me that assurance. And he kept bringing me back to 2 years prior to that, so 2004. And so that's when I got saved. And then I came forward, presented myself for scriptural baptism to the church there in Albany, and then I got baptized that next Sunday. And then fast forward, I was struggling with the call to preach for quite a while. Some of it was, this is for life. It's a big decision. So you can screw your life up if you don't answer, and you can screw your life up if you do answer and you don't do it the correct way. And so it's a big decision. I struggle with that decision. I got tired of being miserable, making my wife miserable. She can attest to that, I'm sure. I don't remember the date. Wednesday at church camp. Again, I went to church camp thinking I knew I was being called. I'm not going to do it. There's lots of different reasons I have. And then a couple messages, Brother Sean hit, my dad hit. I can't get away from conviction. I went up, and I remember I would say in my devotionals, you'll probably hear it tonight, that I would, you know, I was one that would grip the pew, and I wouldn't go when I was being convicted to do things. And I share that in, you know, BTC teaching or devotionals, and I know people look at you and everything, and I'm like, I can't not do that. And so I don't care. He was in the middle of the message, and I went up and I sucked up my pride, and I gave it to God, and I surrendered to preach. And so here we are. So this is I've only preached a handful of messages, but jump over to James, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at a topic that people don't like. People don't like to think about. People don't like to plan for. We're going to look at what's going to happen after death. This is a real topic. This is a thing that all of us will deal with. And I, you know, many of us, we see loved ones that it happens to. Maybe you're thinking, well, it just hasn't happened to me yet. One day it will. So James, the fourth chapter, verse 13, go now, ye say that today or tomorrow you will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell, get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? That's the question. What's your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For he ought to say, if the Lord will, shall we live and do this or that? So realize that our life is short. Our life is a vapor. We have the present moment. You have it, and then it's gone. It's a vapor. It's fast. And, you know, we like to make plans. We like to think that there's going to be a tomorrow. We like to think there's going to be a next year, a next month. Verse 15 says, our life is not in our hands. Our life is in the Lord's hand. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, this is a thing that's, I've been struggling with this. Not struggling, but it's been on my mind. It's been on my heart. So I had a friend in high school, middle school, or, you know, more of acquaintance, I guess, but I knew her. A couple weeks ago, she's traveling. She lives on the coast, and she was traveling to the valley, and she's going back to the coast, and another girl was traveling going to the valley, and there's a head-on collision. She had her kids in the car. Both ladies died. The person and the other person veered over and hit her car, and they both died. Her kids, the only reason why her kids are still alive here today is because their car seats kept them safe. And then I try to think back and think of, you know, how good of a testimony was I, you know, in the classes I had and everything. And so just realize death is real. Death will happen one day. We need to prepare. Jump over to Job, the 7th chapter. Job is probably the oldest book, one of the oldest books in the Bible. Job, he had a lot of struggles in life. He went through a lot of things. He had a lot of loss of wealth, materials. He had a lot of loss of loved ones. So he knew what death was. Job 7 verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? We've all have this appointment. There's appointment for death. Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? Verse 4, when I lie down, I shall say, when shall I rise? And the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro and dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weevil shuttle and spent without hope. And you know, it simply means they're here and then they're gone. Yeah. Verse 7, oh, remember that thy life and the wind of thine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so that he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. You realize once you die, that's it. You're not coming back. There's no coming back and being reincarnated. That's religion. That's, you know, there's no praying in and purgatory. It's you go to heaven or you go to hell. That's it. And so we're gonna look at, jump over let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We didn't look at it, but Job 19 says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Job had this assurance that he knew whatever was going to happen in his life, that he was going to see God. He had salvation. He had what we're going to talk about. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. They're all going to face this appointment. Every single one of us. You know, if you're a kid, you're going to face it. You're an adult, you're going to face it. This is something that we cannot escape. Death is real. Jump over to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans, the 5th chapter. You know, sin brings forth death. We are all sinners. The Bible bears that out. You know, many places, this is just one. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us are going to experience death. Jump over to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel, the 12th chapter. And look at here in verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Realize, not everybody goes to heaven. You're going to either go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And it's up to you. In this life is when you figure that out. Because you wait till the next, this, you know, there's a life after this. You wait for this eternal life to happen. You're going to have eternal life either in heaven, you're going to have it in hell. Yeah. So you have this in this life. Jump over to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. You know that word, contempt there, it means abhorring. You know, it's repulsive. Hell is a literal place. It's a place that you don't want to go. As we're going to read just a little bit, is a place that man was never intended to go there. But because of our sin and because of our separation from God, that we will go there. But Jesus stepped in the way. Isaiah 66. I can't find Isaiah. Sorry. Isaiah 66 and verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. Again, that word abhorring. And that worm there, that realize that worm is your soul. Your soul will never die. Your soul will go up one place. It's either going to go to heaven or hell. And you got to think, you know, One day, the saved, the ones that know Christ as their Savior, we're going to look into hell. And what a tragedy it would be if we looked into hell, we saw loved ones that we had a chance to talk to, we had an opportunity to share with, that we didn't. And they're in there because you didn't share. It's a tragedy. It's a thing that, it's a place God doesn't want man to go there. Jump over to Luke, the 16th chapter. You're going to look at this is a real account of hell. This is not, a parable. They have names that are here. This is not just a story. These aren't just words on the page. This has really happened. Luke, the 16th chapter. Verse 19, there's a certain rich man, which is clothed in purple and fine linen, and is fared sumptuously every day. That's every single one of us. We all of us have nice clothes. We've all changed our clothes from what you were wearing earlier. We fare sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he was comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, if they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have the Old Testament. They have the Word of God. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, if I could just talk to somebody that has experienced this separation, this hell, I would believe. No, you have the Word of God. The Word of God brings it out. This is the letter from hell. You have two people. One knew Christ as their Savior. One saw the sinner they are. They repented in this life, and they're with the Lord. And one rejected Christ. And that's simple. It's black and white. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And so maybe you're thinking, well, I got a testimony. Well, is it just a testimony or did something happen? Did a change happen? Did a spiritual change take place? Hell, he wanted a drop of water just to escape it. You think of a drop, I just took a tiny little drop of drink. You know that drop would have evaporated before it even hit his mouth. Hell, people like to talk about hell and say, this place is hell, and we don't understand what hell is. We don't tell people enough how bad hell is. I don't think people are scared anymore about hell. It's sad. So the church in Albany, we've had since church camp, we had a few people get saved. We had a church member get saved. So just because I don't know who's saved in here, okay? I know I am. And so if you're a church member, maybe you're really not saved. Maybe you're just holding on to that. That doesn't save you. And so realize being a church member doesn't save you. And we have another church member that realized that they truly are lost. And so don't hold on to these things and think, I'm set. I'm set with God. Because if there hasn't ever been a change, you've never actually saw yourself as God sees you, you need to. And so in hell, there's, the rich man, he's suffering physically. He's suffering mentally. He doesn't want his brother to go there, or he didn't want his brother to go there. He has that separation that he knowing that he's never ever going to get out of it. So there's a physical, there's a mental, and there's a spiritual that's all being affected there in hell. Jump over to John, the third chapter. Jesus doesn't want us to go there. He's made every single thing possible for us to escape hell. So how does one escape? Because the Bible, we're going to see here, we're condemned. We're condemned already. Yeah, you want to go to hell, all you got to do is do nothing. Just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to go to hell. And so Jesus has intervened. God sent his only son. Jump over to John 3. I'm sure your pastor reads this. I think this is probably one of his favorite verses. But verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, he loves this world so much that he sent his only begotten son. He sent Jesus. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Realize we're condemned to hell because of the unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus Christ. Jump over to John, the 14th chapter. John 14, verse 6. I know this. It gets quoted or read. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. You know, but you think about it. People, they want to think church is the way. They want to think that being a good person, that's going to get you to heaven. Getting baptized, that's religion. You know, and I talked to a few people, and I have some family members, and they said, well, I got baptized. You're putting your faith and trust in a man, putting you in the water. I mean, these are smart people, too, that think that. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And so if you're putting your faith in mankind, realize you will die and you will go to hell. John the 8th chapter, this is a message that Jesus preached himself. You know, verse 12, he's preaching that he is the light of the world. The Jews, you know, they still don't believe, but they didn't believe then. Some of them did. Verse 12, and then they speak Jesus again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the life. Verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And they saith unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And the word spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said, then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come? Get a hold of verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. This is a statement, this is a separation, who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He's the only one. He's the only salvation that we have in this life is through Jesus. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you're putting your trust in mankind, you're putting your trust in a false testimony, the Bible says here, you're going to die in your sins. If you've never believed in Jesus, realize that this belief, you know, verse 24, you have the difference between somebody dying and going to hell and somebody dying and going to heaven is found in this verse. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You know, and we like to think, you know, these great sins that people commit, murder, fornication, adultery, lying, we think these are bad, horrible sins, and they are. That's not what sends you to hell. Amen. What sends you to hell is unbelief in Jesus Christ, and that's the worst sin. You know, he goes on, he continues to go on, and it says, you know, many believed on him after he's preaching. You must believe on Jesus. Jump over to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're not going to read it, but Nicodemus, he wanted to be saved. And, you know, Jesus told him, you must be born again. You know, Nicodemus was thinking you had to be born again physically. It's not this physical birth. It's that spiritual birth that must take place. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye that curse into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Mankind, God didn't intend for mankind to go here. He created hell for the devil and his angels. This is not a place that God wants you to go. He's done everything possible for you to escape it. Jump over to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Again, a lot of people want to hold on to symbols, want to hold on to maybe emotional experiences. Realize when a person gets saved, and I know it's for me, you might cry. You might have an emotional experience, but don't hold on to that. Make sure that there's a change that has taken place. You know, the Bible tells us to search the scriptures. Don't search our brain, our memory, our intellect. Search the Bible to make sure we're saved. You have this life. Eternity is a long time. You have this life to figure it out. and it goes fast. Verse 21, not every one of them that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name have done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Ye depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, maybe you're thinking, I go to church. I taught a class. I've done all these things. I preached. That's not what's going to send you to heaven. Amen. You must believe in Jesus. And if you don't, one day, Bible says here, he's going to say depart. It's not going to be a good day. Jump over to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark 9, verse 43. If you have any barriers that's keeping you from coming to Christ, you need to get rid of them. Yeah. My barrier for me the message would be, I remember very distinctly, the message was on hell. And I didn't go to the altar. Luckily, I got saved. I didn't get saved at the altar. But realize if your barrier is not if not coming to the altar is what's keeping you from coming to Christ. You know, coming because people are going to see you, and those are stupid things that I thought. If that's what's stopping you from going to hell, you need to get rid of it. And so I was one that would grip the pew, and I didn't want to go. And I felt this conviction. And maybe you're here. I don't know your hearts. I don't know who's saved and who's not. Maybe you're feeling this conviction. You feel like you just got to leave. You got to run. That's how I felt. I got this big old gulp in my throat, and I just wanted the preacher to shut his mouth, and I just wanted to run. And I remember there's been times where I would be gripping the pew, the invitation would be happening, and I know I should go to the altar, and I didn't go. And my brother, Jacob, and I wanted to punch him so bad in the face, just go to the altar. And I would turn back to him, and I would tell him, I'm not being convicted. I knew 100% I was. So that's you. If the altar's keeping you from coming to Christ, forget it. Forget about what people think. Forget about whatever is stopping you. Come to Jesus. This life is short. You're gonna die. We're gonna read verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, than into the fire that never shall be quenched. It's never gonna stop. The fire is always gonna be there. There's never getting out. The torments are there. Where the worm shall not die and the fire is not quenched. The gut worm is their soul. It's never going to stop. It's always going to be there. There's never getting out. You know, you think, well, you're beating a dead horse. I hope so. Because I hope if you're here and you're holding on to thinking you're saved and you're truly not, you have this false testimony. I hope and pray that you don't hold on to that and you just come to Christ. Just forget about your pride. Forget about whatever is stopping you from coming to Christ. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God than having one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm shall not die and the fire is not quenched. He says where the worm dieth not three times. So this is real. Jump over to Psalm, the 9th chapter. You know, I didn't say this. This girl that died, woke me up a little bit. I'm prepared to die. I've sinned. I've done some things. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to be in the bride of Christ, but I do know I'm going to be in heaven because I accepted Christ as my Savior. I saw who I was. So you need a plan, And I know people. We plan for everything in life. We plan to make money. We plan for this short life. Are you planning for what's going to happen after? Are you planning for your eternity? And this lady, this girl, she had kids. She had kids that were the same age as mine. A one-year-old daughter and a four-year-old son. Ben's three. But, the same age. And now her husband, which I knew of, he went to a different high school. He's dealing with that. I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes. But if my wife died, death is real. We don't know when it's going to happen. So we need to prepare now. You may not have another opportunity. We always think we're going to get one more shot. You may not have. Verse 15 of chapter 9. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, and the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth, and the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall turn into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If you go to hell, you can't blame the preacher. You can't blame your family. You can't blame the church. You have to blame yourself. It's what causes somebody to go to hell is you. And so you can't even blame God. You realize God will send you to hell, but he doesn't want to. He's done everything possible for your escape. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Brother John, he used to be able to preach a pretty hot hellfire message, I know for me, when I was being convicted. And this verse got me. This verse still gets me because you realize how powerful God is and the wrath of God. We know God's a loving God, but he's also a vengeful God. And if you keep rejecting him, this is what will happen. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. If I get there, sorry. 1, verse 8 and 9. Inflaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God Almighty is going to pour out his wrath if you reject him. Have you ever heard somebody say, and I've heard it, I've even heard it from people in church, how can a loving God send someone to hell? How can he do that? When you reject him, when you reject his perfect sacrifice and everything possible for you to be saved, and you reject that, he will send you to hell. Jump over to Proverbs, the first chapter. The verse we're going to read, I remember my dad reading it, and when I was lost, and even when I was saved, it's a verse you don't want to read. It's a verse that you get convicted by, because lost and saved alike, this could happen to you. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You have said at my counsel, that's the word of God being presented. You have none of my reproof. I will also laugh for your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer, for they that seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, God will one day laugh at your calamity. How can a loving God do that? Again, when he's giving you opportunity. You know, we're not going to read it. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. We have no excuse. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of our God, or our Lord Jesus Christ, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. You don't have no excuse. And so you must come to Christ. Jump over to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Maybe, I hope everybody in here is saved. Are we sharing this? Are we sharing the dangers of hell? Are we, you know, you think about it. If this building was on fire, we knew somebody was in here, we would be doing everything possible to get this person out. We would be telling them, we would be telling other people, we would be screaming. What are we doing about people dying and going to hell? Our loved ones, our family members. What are we doing? Are we sharing with them? Because again, one day we're gonna. If you're saved, he's going to open up hell. You're going to look in. You're going to see your loved ones. You're going to see your coworkers. You're going to see your grandma and your grandpa. My grandpa's not saved. I invited him to church. Sister Tessa invited church. He's heard. Brother Crabtree's done Bible studies with him. Okay, really, but I'm going to keep going. If they don't want to hear it, keep preaching. Amen. Keep telling them, because life is short. 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's opening it up for all. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You got to call with your heart. You know, we're talking about this belief. You got to believe with your heart. It's not good enough to believe through your head. You know, the Bible, I can't think of the verse off the top of my head, but it says the devils believe and tremble. Okay, so this belief, it can't just be in your head and having a head knowledge of God and believing that he exists. That you must make it real. It must be in your heart. Jump over. Let's look at a couple more. John, the sixth chapter. John, before we go to John, go to Psalm. Go to Psalm 34. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. You got to come broken before God. You got to let down and let go of all your barriers, all your walls you've built up. You got to let them go. You got to go. Just put your faith and trust. As a kid, you think, you know, I have Ben and I have Annalise, and I had Ben. He stand here. He would jump off the stage if I told him to. You know, and you think about little kids. Annalise is totally dependent on Tessa and I. That's what you got to do to come to Christ. You got to be totally not holding back, not having a plan B. You got to just go fully accepting that he's going to save you. Jump over to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. You know, I try to witness. I haven't always been a good witness, but I try to witness as best I can. And I tried to witness to my father-in-law, and one day I shared with him the plan of salvation. He went to church and everything. And I just asked him, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? And he said, no. And then he kept going, and he said, well, there's just no saving me. And I tried to share with him Paul. I tried to share with how he's a murderer. I tried to share with him how he's the chief as a sinner. And, you know, God saved him. Verse 37, if you're thinking that, there's just no saving me. I can't get saved. I've cried out to God. There's just no saving me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will in no wise cast out. You come to Christ believing with all your heart that he will save you. He won't cast you out. He won't turn you away. Jump over to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11, we're going to skip Matthew. Go to Isaiah. Matthew talks about, come unto God. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jump over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. You got to look to Christ. Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts 4, verse 12. Verse 10, it talks about who we're speaking about, the Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, who was raised from the dead. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the only way. As our song leader and piano player come, Revelation is the 20th chapter. If you reject God, this is your final judgment. This is what's going to happen. You know, the lost or the saved are going to get judged. They're going to get judged at the rapture. The rapture, at the coming of Christ, that's when all the saved are going to get judged. They don't have to worry about this judgment. This judgment here that we're going to read about, this great white throne, this is for the judgment of the lost. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, that's Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book which was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written and the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Once you're saved, he puts your name in this book. If your name is not written in this book of life, you're lost. Jump over, do one more verse. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, this, what we're going to see here is written, his disciples were supposed to go through the streets, and if they weren't to hear him, they're just supposed to dust off their feet. Matthew 10, verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. You realize that if you keep putting God off, you keep rejecting, hell is going to be worse for you than it is for Sodom and Gomorrah, which fed on the immorality and the sins of man, as we sing. We're saying, sorry. If you're here and you're lost, I don't know who's saved and who's lost. Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the othermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth and maketh intercession for him. He is willing, able, and ready to save. All you got to do is cry out to Christ. That's all you got to do.
Don't put off salvation.
Don't put them off. You know, as we read, we don't know how long we're going to have. And when I was struggling with salvation, Sister Joyce, she gave me this good advice, and I'm going to share it. She said, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't brush it off. And so it's great advice. If you're struggling, don't let this night go. With that, Brother Dale, will you?